Good afternoon and welcome to From Where We Are. I'm Taylor Mills coming to you live from Studio B in USC's Annenberg Media Center.
And I'm Brian Sarabia. From Where We Are brings you stories of news and culture through the lens of USC and Southern California. It's Monday, March 7th, 2022.
On today's show, masks are no longer required inside USC buildings.
We've been clearly told that we cannot mandate mask wearing, but I'm at least going to lead by example and try to see how that works out.
International Women's Day events are all around campus.
There are definitely flaws to the month and to the day.
All that and more after these news headlines.
From Annenberg Radio News, I'm Nick Charles Curry. Russia has continued to attack civilian targets and infrastructure in Ukraine on the 13th day of the invasion. Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia have formally applied to join the European Union amid fears that Russia's invasion won't stop with Ukraine. Meanwhile, Ukraine spoke at the United Nations International Court of Justice today as they seek an emergency order to stop hostile actions on its territory. Russia did not send legal representation. The worldwide death toll from COVID-19 has surpassed the 6 million mark. The United States, which has a less vaccinated population than similarly wealthy countries, leads the world in total deaths. President Joe Biden has not yet made a decision regarding Russian oil imports. That comes as the national average gas price eclipses $4 a gallon, the highest in 14 years. Prices are expected to set a new national record by tomorrow. The average gas price here in California is $5.34 per gallon. The stock market is also in bad shape as the Nasdaq has fallen into a bear market, a 20% drop from its most recent peak. It was the worst day of the year for the Dow and the S&P 500. A trucker convoy is circling Washington, D.C. in a continuation of protests against vaccine and mask mandates. It's the second day of these protests on the Beltway. So far, there have been no reports of major traffic disruptions. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi endorsed Representative Karen Bass for the L.A. mayorship. Pelosi called Bass a national leader and coalition builder. According to polling data, Bass is the current frontrunner, but the largest group of voters remain undecided. Berkeley residents who won a lawsuit limiting UC Berkeley's enrollment offered today to allow the school to admit up to 1,000 additional students for the upcoming school year. The university declined the offer. Berkeley had planned to admit 5,000 more students than in previous years. A UC Berkeley spokesperson said university officials will not allow a small group of litigants to tell the school how many students it can have. The residents' lawsuit was filed under the California Environmental Quality Act and is one of the latest controversies regarding the law and perceived misuse. Those are some of the top stories in the news.
It looks like some of our stories weren't uploaded into our system. But in the meantime, Brian, we have a special guest coming on later. Do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, no, it's my friend Jessica Doherty. I work with her in the Media Center. We work at the USC desk, and it's been a great experience getting to know her and getting to work with her. She's really helped me actually with my editing skills because I needed more time to work on my writing, and she's really helped me just, you know, doing some basic, like, I guess you can say journalism editing. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Coming into the Media Center, like, my only experience really in, like, writing long form, I guess you can say, is, like, essay writing.
Right.
And writing in journalism is,
it's
like,
a completely different skill. It's a completely different skill. That's why we have a school.
Fully. So it's been really helpful, you know, getting to know her and being able to, you know, just, you know, I guess having her help me write as a journalist better. Does that make sense?
No, it makes complete sense. And, like, honestly, it's a huge part of our process and experience here at Annenberg Media Center is, like, we get that, like, hands-on work and experience. And she's actually within the studio with us if you want to put your headphones on, Jessica. Thank you so much for joining us. We've had some technical difficulties, so you're here a little bit ahead of schedule, but thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's good to see you again, Brian.
Yeah, just to give you a quick intro, a little resume rundown. She got her undergrad degree here from both Annenberg and the School of Dramatic Arts, and she is also the executive editor emerist here at Annenberg Media Center. How did you come into that position?
Good question. I have been here almost as long as the dinosaurs. I started at Annenberg Media around 2017, And I started as the what used to be known as Arts and Theater, which is now Arts, Culture, and Entertainment Editor, moved up to a Managing Editor. And when I came back for my master's degree, became Executive Editor. So that's been kind of my trajectory in the newsroom, mainly on the digital side, but did a little bit of work with ARN and ATVN when I was a wee MJ as well.
5 years is a long time in college terms. It's like dog years kind of, right? And so how has the media center changed over time? I mean, we've had a lot of, I guess, cultural touchstone points, you know what I mean, in terms of like the Black Lives Matter movement, in terms of, you know, what has happened within USG, as well as what happened on Greek Row. And you
were
here for all of that.
As well.
Right. Yeah. You were here for all of that. You know, how have we evolved?
Yeah. I mean, I remember one of my first shifts in the newsroom, I was covering like the Borderline Bar and Grill shooting, which was absolutely insane. And I feel like I've seen so much happen on this campus, like all the scandals, so much drama and traumatic things. But I think the most amazing thing about this newsroom is how resilient it is and how amazing all of the reporters in it are. And I find that it's become more and more of a family, more and more of a cohesive unit of a newsroom. When I first started out, I think everyone was really intimidated and like, oh my God, it's such a big newsroom with all these TVs and all these people running around and oh my God, what's going on? And now it at least to me seems like a much more welcoming atmosphere, and people are a lot more encouraged to pursue the projects that they want to pursue, and really feel like their ideas and opinions and perspectives are worth writing about, producing shows about. And I hope that is the case. If anyone would like to also bring up ways that we could be better at that, you can find my email in the student directory, because I hope that is how the newsroom will be even long after I am gone.
I guess on a more positive note, what do you think is your most like favorite positive memory here at the Media Center?
Oh, man, I have so many. I mean, positive. I mean, it to me, it's the most surreal moment of with our former executive editor, Ruby. It was right before we went online. We kind of had this moment of like knowing this was it before we went online. And it was a really depressing moment because we were like, oh my God, COVID is shutting the world down. But to me, it made me reflect on how lucky I was to like have the time in the studio that I did. And like in the actual newsroom, and coming back to the newsroom in August was such an amazing feeling that it took so long to get back here. And then to see everyone finally coming back in here after so much time away, and to see how much people had grown. I mean, there were people who I had as MJs online who then were editors when I came back. So to see that growth and to see the newsroom come back from that like bleak moment with like Ruby and the Halo being like, this may be our last night in the newsroom.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting.
It was amazing.
It was resiliency. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for being here with us. That was Jessica Doherty, Executive Editor Emerist here in the Media Center. Jess, thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
And we have our stories back. International Women's Day is tomorrow. And as I said earlier, we have a lot that we can learn from the headlines coming out of USC. Carter Hyde has this story.
This past year has been a difficult and complicated one for USC students, especially for the women in our community. The numerous allegations of sexual assault at Sigma Nu fraternity had long-lasting effects on USC and sparked community-wide protests in support of survivors. The lawsuit and trial of former USC gynecologist George Tyndall and the toxic culture of emotional distress and abuse suffered by the USC Songgirls also had detrimental effects on our community. Mary Ahn is a member of the feminist organization USC Flow and echoes these concerns.
Past year has definitely taught the greater public that the struggles that a lot of women face and a lot of the struggles that, you know, the feminist community talks about, it's sort of never ending and it's always there, even if you think that it's not or even if you don't directly witness it yourself. It's always there.
Women's History Month in March was created to honor and celebrate women's contributions to American history. However, there are still many issues that must be addressed. According to Ahn, one of the things we have to address is diversity within the celebration of Women's Month and the topics that are discussed.
there are definitely flaws to this, to the month and to the day. I will say that we still have to work on including, you know, women of color, non-binary individuals, transgender women. And so I think there is that definitely exclusionary aspect of this, of the month and of the day.
On believes being aware of these exclusionary practices and being willing to change them without fear of criticism is extremely important to creating positive change. We saw that this weekend with the annual USC Own It Women's Leadership Summit. The executive director of the event, Michaela Villalpando, says her organization made changes this year to be more inclusive.
Yeah, this was also one of the first years we did a conversation on ableism too. I noticed in the past we didn't have any speakers who had disabilities on our main stage panel. So including that conversation was really special to see.
She says the conference featured a variety of experiences from accomplished women that represent many backgrounds.
All three of our keynote speakers in the conversation led a really impressive conversation about breaking into spaces and how they made names for themselves as in the entertainment industry and so on.
Tomorrow is International Women's Day. People across the world will come together to celebrate the achievements and commemorate the struggles women face. For Annenberg Media, I'm Carter Hyde.
As COVID positivity rates decrease in LA County, USC has lifted its indoor mask mandate. Today marks the first day that everyone can go without masks since returning to in-person classes in fall 2021. Vani Sanganeria has the story.
For the first time in nearly 2 years, students are able to walk into indoor spaces without a mask. Still, some professors are encouraging their students to continue wearing masks in person. USC Physics and Astronomy professor Dr. Vahe Purumian sent an email reminding students to be conscious of their classmates.
I'm the least worried. I'm more worried about my students that might be immunocompromised sitting in that environment. We've been clearly told that we cannot mandate mask wearing, but I'm at least going to lead by example and try to see how that works out.
Some students share their sentiment and will continue to wear masks despite the lifted mandate. Aiden Scallon is a freshman studying neuroscience.
A lot of my classes are in fairly enclosed spaces, and you end up sitting like within one seat of someone. Like we don't have enough seats in the class where everyone can sit like apart. And you know, I'm fully vaccinated and everything, but I feel like it makes sense to like defend yourself against that, especially given when you're in close proximity with someone in an enclosed space.
Another freshman, communications major Tatum Clem, says she will continue to wear a mask for a different reason.
I probably will during some classes, just because I like to be a little bit more cautious, but also because, you know, sometimes if I feel like I'm not looking great, like it just kind of comes in handy because only people can see my eyes.
But many students feel they're safe on campus without wearing a mask. Senior in Narrative Studies major Eli Gruen says he'll make his decision based on the classroom situation.
For my own personal needs and whatever, I feel safe not wearing a mask, but I'm going to read the climate of the room, and if there are some people who are wearing masks, maybe that means they may be immunocompromised. I'm okay not wearing a mask, but I'm also care about other people's needs.
As spring break arrives, the coming weeks will tell whether or not the decision to remove the mask mandate was too early or right on time. For Annenberg Media, I'm Vani Sanganeria.
And that's our show, even if it wasn't as planned. Val Diaz and Guillermo Guerrero produced today's show. Fernando Cienfuegos runs the soundboard. And we had help from Brinley Johnson, Catherine Hammond, Andrew Holloman, Tamana Sood, Veronique Louis-Jacques, Ethan Huang, and Gina Nguyen. Brian.
I'm Brian Sarabia.
And I'm Taylor Mills from all of us at Annenberg Radio. Wherever you are, we hope you'll join us again for
From Where We Are.